Well, we get things underway this hour, getting on board the telephone line and welcoming in our friend Pete Abraham of the Boston Globe. Pete, good afternoon to you.
Hey, Rich, how are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. I don't know, is it too late to wish you a Happy New Year?
I think we're in the bounds where we can still do that.
All right, well then, that's what I send along as a Happy New Year to you. This is full throttle year, so I'm excited for this big Red Sox offseason to get rolling. That'll be happening soon, right?
Well, I guess the throttle is stuck. I'm not really sure what's going on with them because they were, Tom Werner did say they had big plans and they were going to, go for it this year after coming in last, and we haven't seen that so far. And we're closing in on about a month to go before spring training.
Well, let's talk about the things they've done. And, let's start with the pitching staff because that was going to be the focus. Lucas Giolito, certainly a guy who's had some success, struggled at times last year. Where do you see him slotting into this rotation?
Well, we have to assume, and maybe this is a mistake, that they are going to further add to the rotation. But right now, you would think he would be, the number two or number three guy. And that's probably a little high given how much he struggled last year and how many questions there are about him. He has a lot of things he needs to do to kind of recapture the pitcher that he once was with the White Sox. So I think there's a chance he could do that. He's still a young guy. I think some of his issues last year and talking to him were as much, things going on with his life as it was things going on in the mound.
Mm.
He was, he was with three teams last year at one point. Over, I think it was only 40 days he was with three teams. So, had a lot going on, and he seems to be very happy to have a fresh start. But I don't know that that's, who you want starting the second game of the year. I think that's somebody you'd like to have further down in your rotation. So, until, and there are still guys out there that could get via trade or free agency. So it's unfair to say, okay, this is what they are. But I would like to think that they'll be better than having him start one of the first few games.
Were you surprised by the Chris Sale trade?
I was shocked. I didn't think a team would give up much for him, given his injury issues over the last few years, given his contract. I thought Craig Breslow did very well to put together something where they could trade Sale and bring back a guy who could potentially be their everyday second baseman in Vaughn Grissom, a prospect the scouts I've spoken to speak glowingly of in terms of his offensive potential, and they feel like that he could be at least an adequate second baseman. And they kind of, I think, on the other part of that is they lose the uncertainty of Chris Sale, kind of wondering, is he going to stay healthy? How long will he stay healthy? And, how long will it be before something else happens that puts him on the injured list that kind of throws the pitching staff, into another state where they got to figure out what they have to do now. And I don't, Chris, a lot of it was just bad luck. He got hit by a pitch, hit by a batted ball at Yankee Stadium, and he had Tommy John surgery. He had shoulder inflammation. It was nothing that he was, not taking care of himself or not doing what he was supposed to be doing. It was a lot of it just wear and tear. And they kind of paid the price for what they got out of him his first 2 years in his contract. And I thought that, they would have to ride this out. So in a way, it's good for Chris. He gets a fresh start with a team that doesn't need him to be at the top of the rotation, and the Red Sox get to kind of move on without him and some of that uncertainty.
And the Tyler O'Neill signing is interesting, kind of a low-risk, possibly high-reward guy if he can get close to what he was a couple of years ago.
Yeah, it's funny. They traded Alex Verdugo to the Yankees, and then they acquire Tyler O'Neill. And it's almost like it was a one-for-one swap because both teams, I think the Red Sox were anxious to be free of Verdugo and the Cardinals were anxious to move on from O'Neill. And neither of those guys, I think, got along particularly well with their manager. Neither of those guys were probably in the long-term plans of their teams. But both guys are talented players who probably needed to start over somewhere else, and they'll get that opportunity. And you look at O'Neill a few years ago, he was a guy who the Cardinals thought had a chance to be their best outfielder, could be an all-star caliber player, a very physically talented player, good power, good speed, a good defender in the outfield, all of that stuff. And the Red Sox felt the same way about Verdugo. And I think both teams felt like, we got to get what we can get for these guys. If it's only going to be a couple of depth pitchers, then that's fine. We'll take it. and kind of move on. So it'll be interesting to follow over the course of the year which of those guys has a bigger impact on their new team, because I look at them as pretty similar talents, even though, you know, Verdugo's accomplished more in his career, but I think they're very similar in terms of their abilities.
Pete Abraham with us here on Downtown. Well, the search continues for that other piece of the starting rotation. A lot of names are off the board, but still guys out there like Jordan Montgomery, Blake Snell, Marcus Stroman, maybe Dylan Cease. Who do you see as the likely candidates?
Well, it would be very uncharacteristic at this point if they were to go out and sign Jordan Montgomery or Blake Snell. They've been very cautious in their free agent spending for lesser guys. I don't know that they would all of a sudden turn around and say, okay, well, you know, we're going to junk all of that thinking and go out and sign Jordan Montgomery. And he's a pretty accomplished pitcher, and he was very important for Texas last year in winning the World Series. But I don't know that, you know, he's going to be, you know, he's not a number one starter. He never has been. And with Blake Snell, very talented guy, a Cy Young Award winner, a lot of strikeouts, but he's a five-inning pitcher. And that's another guy with his injury history. You want to take the risk of giving him what's going to be a huge contract, you know, knowing that he's only going to face the order twice before coming out of the game. So I see them adding to their rotation much more likely via trade. And those usually happen after the free agent market dries up. The Red Sox have a lot of different guys, I think both on the major league roster and in their minor league system, that Craig Breslow could put together a package to get a guy who could be, you know, one of their frontline starting pitchers.
And what about some of the speculation that Kenley Jansen may be on the market, and maybe if they could find a taker, even Yoshida?
Yeah, you know, with Jansen, it's funny. One thing you see over the years covering baseball is it's kind of useless for a bad team to have a closer, like an all-star closer, because there's not a lot of opportunities for that guy, and you pay a lot of money for him. And it's sort of like having a shiny hood ornament on an old car. Like, it's sort of like, what are you really accomplishing here? So it would make sense if they're looking at this as, you know, we don't think this is a year we're going to contend. It would make sense to try to trade Jansen and get something back for him in what would be the last year of his contract. Now, maybe you wait until July to do that because more teams are anxious to improve their bullpens at that point. But I would be, you know, unless the Red Sox surprise us all and are a contending team, it would be surprising to me to see Jansen still with them at the end of the year, which is too bad because I Kenley's been a very good pitcher and a very good guy since he's been with the Sox. Fun guy to talk to. He's pitched well in the situations where he's had to pitch well. But you look at the end of last year, he barely pitched because they were never in safe situations.
Let's talk about the Hall of Fame, Pete. This was, I believe, your 14th year as a voter, and you and all the Globe writers have published the people you chose, and you voted for seven guys this year.
Yeah, and very happy to vote for Adrian Beltre, who was a Red Sox for 1 year, and unfortunately it was only 1 year because he went on to pretty much put together his Hall of Fame resume with the Rangers after he signed with them. And, stayed with some of the people that I voted for in the past, with Todd Helfenden and Billy Wagner and Carlos Beltran, who was on the ballot for the first time last year. And I added Joe Mauer, who won three batting titles as a full-time catcher. And that's not something you normally see. I didn't hold it against him that concussion issues and other injuries kind of short-circuited his career. And the other player I voted for was David Wright, who I don't know is necessarily a Hall of Famer, but I think there's merit in keeping him on the ballot to have further discussions about him, because there are a number of different players who were terrific, and he was really good with the Mets. He's arguably, other than Tom Seaver, the most accomplished player for the Mets, and his career was pretty much over when he was 32 because of a spinal injury. And whether it's David Wright or Dustin Pedroia, you know, guys in those situations, I think there's this, you know, you can debate their merits in terms of the Hall of Fame, and I think it's okay to have them still on the ballot to continue those discussions. I wouldn't have voted for anybody else otherwise, so I didn't feel like I was hurting someone else's cause by voting to keep, at least trying to keep, David Wright on the ballot.
Chaim Bloom has got himself a new job. He'll be an advisor in the front office of the Cardinals. And I think I saw you suggest that maybe if he had brought someone in to help him out, he might still have his job.
You know, that's what I find funny about that is, you know, he takes a job as an advisor with the Cardinals. And a lot of GMs have former GMs or baseball, you know, presidents of baseball operations or chief baseball officers, whatever you want to call them, on their staffs. And Brian Cashman has a couple of them. Almost, you know, I would say roughly half the teams have somebody in that position. And last year, I remember I asked Chaim, you know, have you thought about having somebody like that on your staff? And he said he had, but they couldn't find a good fit. I kind of wonder to what degree they really pursued looking for somebody with a good fit. But I think he would have benefited by having somebody in that role. He was a young guy who became a GM in a big, you know, big media market town, and a lot of pressure, obviously, when you're running baseball operations for the Red Sox. I think hiring a you know, somebody who had had that job with another organization would have been very helpful to him. And I think it would be very helpful to Craig Breslow, too. I think the Red Sox should be looking for somebody like that because even, you know, Dave Dombrowski, who had decades of experience, he had Tony La Russa as an advisor. And, you know, he had people around him he could talk to and say, hey, what do you, you know, I'm thinking about doing this. What do you think about it? And I think having somebody with more experience than you have in any profession, really, can be a helpful thing. But especially when you're the guy in charge of running baseball operations for a team, I think sometimes you can get caught up in, you know, pursuing a particular deal or a particular player. And other people in the organization who are trying to keep their jobs or stay on your, you know, on your good side might not say, hey, this, you know, are you really sure you want to do this? But somebody with more experience might say, hey, you know, maybe no one else is putting this in your ear, but, you know, you need to think about this because this might not work out so well. And I think that would be something. I think Chaim Bloom probably should have had somebody like that, and I think Craig Breslow should have somebody like that.
All right, an important question before we let you go, Pete. When you were a kid and you got baseball cards, did you chew the gum?
You know, no, because it would always crack. It wasn't very chewable, and no, I didn't. I always thought that gum wasn't very good. I would usually chuck that gum and quickly flip through the cards to try to find if there were any players that I liked.
Yeah, with that gum too, you had to let it simmer a little bit in your mouth. Otherwise, yeah, you would rip open your gums trying to bite into that stuff.
Oh, I think it's funny now that they sell. Well, I don't know if they do it. I don't think they put gum in cards anymore because it ruins the cards. But they used to sell, like, the old packs of cards, and the gum would still be in it.
No.
Wow, that gum's going to be 5 years old, and people are, you know, I wonder what happens to the gum.
But, I think that gum had a shelf life of about 30 years.
Yeah, it probably did, but, yeah, they don't, right? They don't put gum in cards anymore, I don't think, right?
No, I don't think they do. Yeah, they don't want to ruin the price of those mint-condition cards.
Probably costing dentists a lot of money over the United States.
Absolutely. When do you head south, Pete?
First week of February, and the Red Sox, I think, officially get started on the 13th. And usually, you know, there's guys down there working out, and there's stories to be had. And it's funny, we can, you know, we can track everything people read, and folks love reading about the, you know, the guys who show up to spring training early because. It's you know, it's a sign of warm weather in baseball, and that seems to do very well.
Looking forward to it. Pete, we thank you as always, and hopefully we'll check in with you while you're down in Florida.
Sounds good. Thank you, Rich.
All right. Thank you, Pete. Pete Abraham of the Boston Globe talking Red Sox with us here on Downtown.